The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess.
Why'd you hire someone to poo-poo on a plan that doesn't involve building on your property? Are you going to shame them into, oh, okay, then we'll come back and we'll throw all this money into the place on the lake? That's what I thought. It's like, really? Cleveland's spending money to prove, in their estimation, that what the Haslams are thinking about trying to do won't work. Okay, then, Cleveland, what's your option? What do you got for me? What do you got? We're going to go back to the same place, and we're going to throw hundreds of millions into a place that, though I think it's a fine place to watch a football game.
Right.
Everybody appears to want more than that. All right, what do you got, Cleveland? What do you got?
What do you got?
Tell me, what do you have?
What do you got? You got a more expensive thing? Here's the first thing I thought of is I was like, okay, can we just put this thing to bed? Why is this thing taking so long? And I'm sorry, it's politics. That's why it's taking so long. Yeah. And we're going to sit here and cry about spilled milk. As far as I'm concerned, it's game over. This thing's moving to Brook Park. Like, I don't even know why the city would waste your money to do a study on what's going on here. I was like, oh, that's cute. Okay, sounds like an idea. But you've had years to do this.
It's all about taxpayer money.
Let's spend more on a study. Let's go do another study that's gonna you're shaming the people that want to spend money, and you had time, and how much money was the city going to give the Browns to continue to stay downtown, and now all of a sudden you're coming up with like this $8 billion dome idea where Blake Park was. Well, where has that been for years? Like, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And it's like when I read the story and I was, you know, just kind of trying to think about, I'm telling you 100,000%, I wish they would build a dome stadium in downtown Cleveland. I will tell you that. I will tell you that 1,000 times over.
Sold.
But the city dragged their feet. The city doesn't want to give them any money. What do we do? Like, the city has other problems. The city is not in any kind of shape to be landlord to anybody. I mean, when's the last time, Jeff, you've seen more than two police officers? I take it back. Yeah, two police officers in the last 6 months downtown Cleveland when we're walking into work. I mean, come on. Where are you spending your money?
I came to a play last night. I don't believe I saw a police officer.
Nothing. But yet, are we all turning our back to some of the news stories
and
that are going on?
That's not on the police department. There aren't enough of them.
No, there's not enough. Like, take the money you used on this study and pay for some police officers. Or, I don't know, invest in your people that are downtown. Or something. Why are you wasting money on something that's already, like, it's done?
I talked to a buddy of mine today about this, and he had a great line, and I agree with him. Instead of being threatened on stuff like this, why doesn't the city of Cleveland see this stuff as an opportunity? You have somebody who's willing to pony up some cash. Now, you can say what you want about the Haslams. Everybody has a different feel on everybody's ownership of a team. And you might not like the idea of a Brook Park. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing to pony up a lot of money. Now, not all the money yet, but they're willing to pony up a lot of money to invest in our region. I mean, take a look what they have planned for Berea.
Yeah.
Let alone Brook Park. I mean, they're going nuts in Berea. And that's a good thing. And how about you sit down and you say, you know, you want to pay for half the stadium. And according to everything I've seen, they plan to pay for all the other development stuff. Wouldn't you think that at some point they just might end up getting private investors to go with them and just say, sorry, we got it.
I mean, my fear is that it's going to end up out of the county when this is all said and done. That's my fear is that it's going to end up outside of Cuyahoga County. We're there, I think that that's not and it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be paid by somebody else, like the city has zero argument. Like if the Haslam suddenly, like we have investors, we're just going to pay for the whole things ourselves. You know who's going to get crushed? Season ticket holders, because you're going to end up paying even more money. I watched this happen in Columbus. And I watched it happen with the Blue Jackets.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, what they wanted was an arena that was going to be funded by taxpayer dollars. People at Columbus said, no, thank you. We don't want an arena downtown. Meanwhile, look at that arena district downtown Columbus. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
People
use it all the time. They ended up building a baseball stadium down there. But what happened was when they built Nationwide Arena, they said, okay, we'll do this privately. And then you know what happens? Beer prices are through the roof. Tickets, and they had trouble down the road selling tickets because tickets were so expensive, because now ownership, which owns their own building, now has to make up the money there, and so there's no tax.
Which, of course.
I don't have any – like, if they want to pay for it on their own, that's – knock yourself out, man. But that means they can put that building anywhere they want, and if you want to toy around with this – with the Modell law, it doesn't even – if they want to pay for the stadium themselves, does that even apply? I don't think so.
I don't think it does either. So
when I read the story this morning, you know, and you brought up a point, I want you to be the city, and I want you to, or I'll be the city.
Okay.
You tell me why you want to move. You tell me why you want to. Why are you
because
moving?
Because I want to build a great facility and do something that would, A, make me money.
No, you should stay in Cleveland because.
Because why?
Because the city sounds like a bunch of 4-year-olds in this conversation. You're going to give me all these reasons, and the only answer the city has is because.
It just seems strange to me that rather it there seems to be less of a feel of cooperation the longer this thing goes. And
there's no cooperation. It's a divorce.
Well, it sure seems that way.
And it didn't have to be like this. That's the problem. If we had forward-thinking politicians, this wouldn't be this way.
If the Haslams do not want to put a facility and everything else that goes with it in the city, okay. All right. I get that. And, you know, the city, the thought is, well, we want to have all this downtown and it's going to hurt if we take people away. All right. Well, then enhance everything and make it better and help them and come up with land and come up with money, unfortunately. I mean, and if not, well, then, you know, let them go build a palace in Brook Park.
Yeah.
I mean, that it might actually hurt the city of Cleveland. I don't see how that hurts the region.
So let's.
The argument that, well, you need a viable city of Cleveland or you're going to hurt the region. Okay. Does a stadium that you just use 12 times a year and throwing hundreds of millions of dollars back into that one, that helps the region? I mean, it's there now. Where have you been for 20 years?
Yes. I agree.
Where's the lakefront development around the stadium that we've been hearing about forever? It seems to just get in the way, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, let me go through some of this story from Courtney Astolfi, I think is who wrote this, for Cleveland.com. So
well done story.
We'll give you credit for what you did, obviously. So let's go through this. And it said, let me start here. I'll start like third paragraph in. On Tuesday, City Hall fired back at what's going on. Mayor Bibb released an economic analysis conducted by Philadelphia-based Econosult Solution. There's nobody in Cleveland that could have done this study. I'm just curious. They had to go out and hire an outside firm outside of Cleveland.
Andy, they took the money out of the city of Cleveland?
Yes. So they spent money Philadelphia-based company
That's being a little...
Nitpicky?
Yeah, but still, it's kind of funny.
Well, you're going to tell me there's no Cleveland-based company that could have done this study? None. Zero?
We wanted a non-biased approach.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right.
What if
that's
it had been a Brook Park company? Would that have been bad?
That cast doubt on the demand for such an entertainment district and raises questions about the overall financial viability. Cleveland.com saw a comment from the Browns, and since there's no other line, I'm assuming the Browns didn't comment, because the line just says Cleveland.com saw a comment from the Browns, and then there's nothing after that. So I'm assuming they didn't respond. And so here's the, and then it goes in, here's a closer look at the findings from the analysis. So let's just talk about it. With a yearly average attendance of 642,000 fans at the downtown stadium, Cleveland economy gains at least $30 million each year through direct and indirect visitor spending. That figure includes about $14 million in wages and represents about 360 jobs, the report found. Okay? I buy that. Do you see anything wrong with that?
No.
Then it says, economists who study stadium financing...
You know, pay attention here.
This is hysterical. Economists who study stadium financing are skeptical of the accuracy of these kinds of economic impact studies, and they largely conclude that stadiums contribute little, if anything, to regional economies. But economists have found evidence that moving a stadium from one location in a region to another can transfer small economic benefits between areas, and that those transfers are largely in the hospitality sector associated with low-wage jobs. I don't see why, of the 360 jobs that are offered on current game day, let's just say game day staff, they still need game day staff no matter where they play, right?
And I would think those people could be Cleveland citizens.
And so why couldn't they?
I don't know, Andy.
I know, cross the border. I think, you know what the mayor should do? He should build a wall between Brook Park and Cleveland. Okay. That would be great. Economists who study...
Keep it on the rails here, dude.
Okay, I'm on the rails. Bibb's study arrives at a similar conclusion. It found that downtown Cleveland losses would essentially be Brook Park's gains.
Well,
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you had to pay a Philadelphia firm for that, huh?
I've got more on this. I want to keep reading through this because there's other stuff in here. Like, there's one line in here I'm just like, I don't think that's right. So we'll come back to that in a second. Your thoughts, 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. The headline, Cleveland.com today, is Brown's Brook Park plan even viable? New City Hall report casts doubt. Can we just turn the page on this thing? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
City would commission someone to try and shoot that down and yet not come up with a great other option other than throwing hundreds of millions of dollars in the old place.
Or billions for next door. Or billions for the old place. I mean, it's not 100, it's billions on all
of
these.
Well, the city would throw in hundreds of millions. And
would they? I don't know that the city wants...
That was the plan, wasn't it?
It's got to get by city council, and I don't know that city council was about to give the Browns any money on this thing either, from everything that I've heard and listening to our podcast.
Well, that's not what you want then, is it?
No, I mean, you need people that want to be partners, right?
This is an opportunity right here. Don't poo-poo it. Enhance it. Embrace it. Figure it out.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being nitpicky on the story. There was one part of the story, Jeff, that said it was comparing, you know, like I always say, look at the events they get in Indianapolis, right? And that was one of the reasons why. Again,
there's our shining light. Well, we love Lucas Oil.
But the stadium is used 12 times a year. And the numbers that we set on top make sense, like 700,000 people coming downtown for this stuff. I get it. I understand it.
Where are they going to stay if you build a dome, Andy?
Probably in new hotels, or maybe in the hotel at the airport you might build, which is City of Cleveland bed tax, right? Because the airport I checked, it's last time I checked, still in City of Cleveland, right?
People are going to stay in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, it's like any event you see at the IX Center, where are those folks staying? Like, again, we had that huge autograph show that brought in all of these sports superstars, and it was hard for me to walk into work because they were all standing next to the hotel. The people that were working out there or going out there, we're at the hotel right next to us here downtown.
You scream, get out of my way.
I said, get out of my way, Jeff Phelps. You must not know Jeff Phelps. You'd get out of my way. There's one part of the story I'm just going to talking about concerts and events other than the Browns. Again, for me, this stadium thing is not about the Browns. It's not. It's about putting people to work. Now, people could get put to work.
It's about the Browns and making money. That's nice that you're sitting here.
It's real.
It's nice that you're sitting here and thinking of that. The big project is the Browns and making money, but also something that enhances our whole community. I mean, if they could figure it out downtown, Andy, I don't know. But think about what, I mean, our airport has issues, right?
Yeah.
You think this would help our airport too? The viability of the airport and maybe become
like
a bigger hub?
Yeah, if you want to have
I don't know. Maybe that's completely not the case. I don't know.
Maybe you have a convention the convention center can't handle, right? Needs a little bit more space. Maybe even the IX Center, right? Same kind of thing. So I just know that, and I'll give you a case in point. Remember when the Browns were coming back to life and they were deciding who the owner was? Where were the meetings? Do you remember where the meetings were to do that?
Out of the airport.
At the airport in Chicago.
Yeah.
Everyone flew into the airport, never left the airport, and left. No one did anything outside, and they just hung out, and that's where they decided the learners were going to get the team.
Bought a couple of cups of coffee, so the economic impact, about $14.
That's true. Oh, no. It was really expensive. It was $14.75 at that point. Okay. But one of the parts of this story was talking about how the Browns said that they might be able to host 50 special events beyond the NFL. And again, you know, the story or the conclusion that came out of the Cleveland.com thing was that that's not true. They're saying in 2023, Ford Field in Detroit had 12 big events. Indianapolis hosted 4. Minneapolis, their new stadium, had 6. And it also said all three regions have a larger population than the Cleveland area.
Think about our
greater. That's absolutely. I mean, that's a number skewed the way you want it to skew. So, like, if you want to talk about greater Cleveland and not include Akron Canton, then that is correct. But when you look at Minneapolis, they look at Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I think there's another major city in there too. Detroit also is more than just Detroit. Now, Detroit clearly is 100%, that's 100% correct. They have 4.3 million people in their metro area. Cleveland, when you look at Cleveland, Akron, Canton, we have 3.7 million people. When you look at these cities that they're talking about, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, and Detroit, that they compare them to, you know, Jeff and I will probably always say to you, well, always look at the television market size and you can kind of get a feel for what the
overall market
is. Yeah, and so let's be super honest. Cleveland, Minneapolis, and Detroit isn't that much bigger than we are. I'm just looking at the last poll or the last survey they did. Cleveland was ranked the 19th biggest television market. Again, and I say television market just because that's where we work, but that's how they determine how many people are in the area in some way, in your region, to kind of look at the way you want to look at things. Minneapolis is 15. I mean, they're in the same ballpark. Indianapolis is on the other side of us. They're at 25. So Cleveland's 19, Indianapolis is 25. If you want to take out Akron and Canton, then the line in the story is correct, but no one does that. Everyone calls it Cleveland, Akron, Canton. So it is what it is. A lot of things going on here. Let's get some feedback. So let's talk to Tony in Sugar Falls. He's been hanging out for a while. Hi, Tone. How are you?
Tony.
Hi. Doing good. I wanted to weigh in on this. I'm a commercial real estate specialist, and that report is 100% spot on. And here's why.
I just told you a part. It wasn't like talking about the DMAs there. That's in the Indianapolis part is incorrect.
No. That part is okay. I'm talking about the report that indicates or the Haslam's intent to build an entertainment retail-based development around it. That will never happen. That is not a viable site for that type of development. It just isn't. And I, you
okay,
know,
so
we
let me
represent,
you say that. Just tell me why. Tell me why. That's all.
Well, because it's Brook Park, Ohio. What's there now? Industrial buildings, strip clubs. It doesn't.
There's hardly
lend itself.
When I was a younger person, I would have known that. I don't think there's as many strip. I drive down Brook Park every once in a while. I see a lot of car dealerships.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So the and I'm in the business, and I represent restaurants and entertainment users. And they are in, out in the east side or far west side or downtown. And I don't think they wouldn't go there if you gave them the space for free. It just doesn't lend itself to that type of project. And that part of this development is a critical piece of this whole entire development is that additional, you know, entertainment lifestyle component.
Which, Tony,
it doesn't work.
Which the Haslams, if I'm not mistaken, have said they're paying for.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, we, you know, and where they hear it, let me tell you this. They got their study commissioned from a company in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
So you were talking about.
Well, we got Dallas and
so
Philly.
Yeah, but great.
That's money out of their own pocket. And this is taxpayer dollars going to a Philadelphia company to do a survey, right? Right.
Right. I understand. And yeah. But I think there'll be taxpayer dollars that'll go to fund the Dome Stadium part of that project, correct?
As of right now, it sounds that way. I mean, they want the state and the county, and I don't even know if the county doesn't even know Brooke Park's in Cuyahoga County. So what's it?
I think it's the state. I think
the
it's
state's
the state
in.
Is
yeah,
the, where.
Because the state realizes Brooke Park's in Ohio. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I'm crazy. Mike is in Cleveland. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Mike.
For 24 years plus, they've been talking about redeveloping the lakefront, and that's one of the larger portions. Why are they so silent now when it comes to the Browns, when they could have that prime piece of land to redevelop into more parks?
In other words, tear down the stadium and put
and
something
develop
else
the
there?
Land?
Yeah, they want to tear everything else down on the lakefront, the airport, the Port Authority, everything else across the land, across the shoreline. Why don't they tear that down and make more park for that?
Mike, I agree with you. I've not understood this. Does keeping a stadium there help with developing the lakefront? If it would, then why hasn't it happened in the last 25 years?
Well, correct, because you can't get in and out of it very well. You still fight. They've been talking about a pedestrian bridge now forever, which they haven't built, which costs $50 million plus that they don't have, which is why it hasn't. One reason it hasn't been built. So you would eliminate, if you went out to Brooke Park, you eliminate all that parking hassle, eliminate walking all over the place to get in and out of the stadium. Having to park in the Port Authority, and then there'd be nice parking and a park for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Science Center.
It's tough to park down there. I agree,
Mike. Thank you, Mike. The one thought here, and going back to our previous caller as well, a project like that's not viable in Brooke Park. Okay, people won't come. Well, how do you know? I mean, if you build something really cool. I'm not going Field of Dreams on you here. If you build something really cool, maybe it brings people, right? Isn't that the idea?
Do you know what?
And here's the other thing, Andy. If the city of Cleveland thinks that that's such a great thing, then how about if you find the land here and have the Haslams build that here? If you think it's something that is viable, build it in Cleveland. Okay, now that's where of cooperation is going to have to happen. And you're going to have to talk to them. I don't know that the Haslams think something like that's viable in Cleveland.
Why would the if the city's going to do a commission to kind of, you know what, all over the thing, why would the Haslams even want to deal with the city?
Well, that's a really valid point, Andy.
And I'm going to ask you this. So in Columbus, where Nationwide Arena is, where that whole arena district is,
yeah.
Do you know what that was before?
Tell me.
I mean, you can tell me anybody in their right mind in Franklin County, although they had forethought down there when they were rebuilding their freeways and figuring out what they were going to do down by Twin Rivers Road and stuff. They knew where that what they were going. That land was a prison.
What was Gateway?
It was an old market.
Yeah, that was sitting there.
But no one would want to go to that. I just listened to this. All right, we'll take more of your phone calls. We'll talk more about the story in a second. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, he's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, 216-474-0092. We will bring in Andrew Siciliano at 11:20, Kevin Stefanski's press conference at high noon. Chris Rose from the NFL Network, and of course, Rose Rotation is going to join us at 12:20. And then we're going to hear Jameis Winston at 1 o'clock. So we have all kinds of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
We started the show off today talking about a story that's on Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, and it's is the Browns' Brooke Park plan even viable? A new City Hall report cast doubt. So City Hall went out, they did a study, and it's just saying, you know, why having a dome in Brooke Park is bad. Is that the best way to put this?
Why they... To me, it's they're basically just saying, hey, that won't work. That's a bad idea. That won't work, and here's why. And we spent money, taxpayer money, to combat the Browns ownership wanting to build something different.
There was a part of the story that I think is totally legit that, you know, if you build the dome in Brook Park, yeah, I could see where some events, like some concerts, would rather go to the dome than they would to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, which is in Cleveland.
Bigger venue.
But what's the difference between that and having a concert in the summer at Cleveland Browns Stadium? Isn't that taking away from Rocket Mortgage?
Yeah, except for one thing.
But then people still have to stay downtown?
You could, in theory, put more concerts because you have a bigger window of weather.
Right.
Which, of course, you know, heaven forbid we bring 60,000 people to an event in Northeast Ohio because nobody will stay in downtown Cleveland hotels or go to Cleveland to eat dinner at the fine restaurants in town.
So you're saying if we did get the opportunity to have a Super Bowl, that would mean that no one would stay downtown?
No, they'd all stay south of Brook Park.
Oh, in what, 10 cities or where? So you're saying that none of the hotels in downtown Cleveland would benefit if they got a Final Four?
You know what I don't get,
if
Andy?
I don't get this. Do you think the Mid-American Conference would move the MAC championship here?
I don't get that.
We would be taking money away from Detroit?
Here's what I don't get. You have an ownership of a team that's looking down the road. They're looking to build something that's pretty big and pretty impressive and really forward this thing. Okay? Now, can they pull it off? I don't know. I'm not the money guy. But by God, they got a vision, and they have a plan, and they have an interest in investing in Northeast Ohio. And Cleveland, right now anyway, wants to think small. Hey, let's just put more money into the place on the lake and we're okay.
Well, whose money?
Taxpayer money.
Okay.
That's where Cleveland's money comes from, is taxpayers. In some way, shape, or form.
And business taxes.
Right. Well, they're taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all taxpayers. People who stay in hotels are taxpayers.
True.
So they want to spend taxpayer money on that. Is there no compromise where, hey, we understand you want to build something really big and forward thinking. Let's help do that, and maybe we can do it here in the city of Cleveland. We're not hearing, I've not heard that aspect of this. Hey, let's take what you want to build and let's find a place in Cleveland. Can you imagine some of the opportunities that might be between downtown and the Cleveland Clinic? And University Circle. Tie all that together? Oh, my God. How cool would that be for the city?
Wait, you're saying put a dome between in the... I'm saying that again.
We have Cleveland downtown.
Right.
And we have University Circle and Cleveland Clinic and all that.
Yeah.
How about somewhere in between? I know there's stuff there now. Okay, well...
You're going to start tearing stuff down?
People tear stuff down all the time, Andy, and build new stuff.
Well, they'd have to displace a lot of people that live in that region.
Well, maybe not.
Midtown.
Maybe not. You don't think you can find 176 acres out there that might be viable?
Between downtown and University Circle?
Yeah, maybe.
Then the next question, Jeff, it's not, there's no freeway access to that. Opportunity Corridor would be close. There's no quick freeway access.
Well,
you're clogged up on 55.
All I know is keep telling me how tough it is to get into the stadium, and you know why?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Because you're right. That's why.
Let's go to Angela in Rocky River. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Hello, Angela.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm well. Okay, couple things. You know, we come from Rocky River into the stadium. It is so easy. I mean, it's amazing how easily we get in and we get out. Maybe that's different from the east side or south side. I don't know. But
okay, so let me ask you a couple questions. What time are you arriving?
Usually by 9.
So you're there at 9 o'clock in the morning. So the streets,
there's no traffic at 9.
And you do realize they don't close down streets till I think an hour and a half before the game.
So, you're right. You're absolutely right. So that is easy. But getting out's easy, too, because we just hop right on the shoreway. And that's, you know, everything's open by then. And we have a lot of people come in from all over the place to go to my husband. They have a tailgate. They've had it for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And so people come in from all over. Sometimes they go to the game, sometimes they don't. And the thing that I would miss or they would miss, and we hear this comment all the time, is what a great place it is to go to a game because you can go to the tailgate, and then if you're not going to the game, you can walk to a bar, you can walk to the flats, you can go, you know, you can leave and take an Uber out of town. If you're going to the game, you walk to the game from the tailgate. That it's, you know, it's that there's not a lot of stadiums left that you can do that. Or, you know, if
totally
you go to a bar,
disagree with that, but keep going. Yes.
If you go to Kansas City, somebody waited two hours to get an Uber after the game.
Because Kansas. Okay, so there's one stadium that what they did there was also a brilliant idea that they put two stadiums in the same vicinity. And by the way, you know what they want? The Royals want out of there.
I know.
So I can tell you that pretty much any 100,000 seat stadium that I've been to for college football all have the amenities that you're talking about. That you can walk to a bar, you can walk to the stadium. I'm just trying to think of
Angela,
NFL
stadiums. So, Angela, you want the city to invest in the Haslam's hundreds of millions of dollars in the existing facility? Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
No, not in the existing. I agree with you that that maybe there is another location. I think they ruined it 25 years ago or whenever it was in 90 when they put the stadium on the lake. I think that, I mean, that was the biggest travesty. But it seems like, I don't know, by the post office, take the post office, put that somewhere else.
So they're already putting a soccer stadium pretty close to that right now, too. In the works.
Well,
that's all right.
But it's such a nice place for people to come visit because there is so much access. And, you know, I agree with the previous caller, too, that I don't think people are going to Brook Park on, you know, on a random Tuesday in February to, you know, go hang out.
If Taylor Swift was there, you think they'd be there?
Yeah, but you're talking 10 times, you know, total of 10 times a year. And you know what? Yeah. If the Haslams want to do that and spend their money like they did in L.A., and I've been to that stadium in L.A., fine, go for it. I mean, that's
exactly.
In the middle of a neighborhood.
That's a great point, Angela. Yeah. That's a great point. Agree
that's
with
a great point, Angela.
All right, thanks, Angela. Appreciate it. Chuck's in Cleveland. Hi, Chuck.
Nobody went out to Randall Park Mall until they built it.
To which mall?
Randall Park, when it was out there.
Well, why would it? But it was still freeway accessible. It was always freeway accessible.
Right. Yeah. And then they built it, and everybody went out there. And it didn't last, but malls don't last anymore.
That's true.
Very few.
Hi, Chuck.
How you doing?
Good.
I grew up in Brook Park. It's a wonderful city. You know, they lost the Ford plant, and they lost their tax base.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
This is a wonderful thing for the city. Both cities. Because it alleviates all your parking problems downtown. Mm-hmm. And the last caller said something about walking to bars and stuff. Well, have you seen the facility he wants to put in there?
Yes.
You see what they're putting in Berea.
Yeah, that's pretty serious. Isn't
they just got all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to tie all their stuff together in a smaller area. So they don't have to travel the 15 minutes by highway to the stadium from their practice facility. Everything's right there.
Yeah.
Everything's within 5 minutes of each other.
Yep.
We're with you, Chuck. All right. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Let's finish this up with Jim in Strongsville. Friend of the show, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hello, James.
Guys, listen, I know there's a lot of, like, sentimental reasons or whatever else to try to put. It's not going downtown. It's going in Brook Park. Forget downtown. Jeff, your idea was really nice, but there's no freeway access. There's no single owner of property that you can just go swing in and buy a whole swath of land from. So that idea, downtown's dead. That in terms of whatever, but the idea of the stadium going down there is dead. It's gone.
So Jim, let me ask you this, though. And I agree with you. I just threw out the idea of downtown. Brook Park sitting there, I'd put it right there. But why is the city then not pitching other options other than renovating the old place?
Well, they did. Remember, there was the Channel 3 FBI building option.
Has that been legit, though?
Well, it was an option. I mean, people never wanted it.
They wanted to move on. You got to look at it this way. Everybody's talking about bars and access to bars. Listen, I go to every home game, right? Yes, they're okay. So there were bars, but guess what they had to do? The whole party down on West 6th is closed down now. Do you know why? There's a giant presence down there because they couldn't control the crime going on around it, and it wasn't the people going to the games. So don't tell me about walk to a bar. That's maybe before the game. Very few people are going to a bar after the game. I mean, and honestly, the city, with all the police that are down there, because I asked the cop when we were down there, the mayor was sick and tired of it, and like it was unlike him to show this. It is a huge police presence down there on game day now. And that's not a mistake. They don't want it. Why would they want to bring the elements? You know what I mean? Tailgating brings in this element that is not conducive to regular, everyday city functioning. So there's just a lot of reasons not to have it there. Be happy. He's going to build a very nice thing. And look, everybody's like, well, are you going to go? People don't go to Crocker Park because that's pretty much what Jimmy's trying to do over there. That's my only point, guys.
It could hurt Crocker Park, right? If you're a Crocker Park, it could hurt.
It could hurt Crocker Park, yeah. But I doubt it.
Yes.
I think it'll help everybody. Look, there's plenty to go around, plenty for all of us. Plenty for me, plenty for you. Maybe not enough for Jeff, but plenty for everybody else.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye, Jim. Thank you. All right. Can we put a bow on this? I just think this was a cute article that came out this morning. It's something you'll think about and maybe Google about 5 years from now. Remember when they were questioning Brook Park? What?
This has become a very adversarial situation, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why. It doesn't have to. Try and figure it out. And the Cuyahoga County folks aren't on board either, and it's staying in Cuyahoga County, which, okay, if the city of Cleveland really wants the Browns to stay in the city of Cleveland, come up with some ideas, some thoughts, some cash, and help them do that. And if you don't want to do that, well, then let them go to Brook Park. You're still going to get hotels and restaurants and everything else.
Hey, maybe go build a couple more hotels right there by the airport, and they'll be in the city of Cleveland.
On Cleveland property, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah, what a thought.
All right, I'm done making sense. All right, 216-474-0092. That's the number to call. You know who we're going to be talking to next? Andrew Siciliano from the Browns Radio Network. He joins us next, Baskin and Phelps.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are well.
Yes, we think so.
Yeah.
Sun's out, okay. So that's not bad. We're good with that.
How about those Cavs?
How about them Cavs?
Rolling.
Yeah.
You got any breakdown on them?
13-0 tonight.
Feeling good?
I don't. I missed the game Monday night. I was at Monday Night Football Monday night here at I went to Rams Dolphins, so I missed big win number 12, but go team.
There you go.
Well said. Well said. You ready for some beignets? Are you going to get a couple beignets this weekend? You going to do that?
I don't know. Maybe. It depends on you know, you get in late Saturday afternoon. That's kind of a Sunday morning thing. We're Central Time in New Orleans, and that's a noon kick, so it's probably going to be difficult. Noon kick local, that is. So I don't know. I mean, I love me some beignets. In the grand scheme of things, they're just little powdered donut bites.
I know.
but they are very good. Don't get me wrong. Angling for a good meal on Saturday. Happy for that.
Jameis Winston returns to the city where he looked pretty good at times and really didn't get the opportunity that he probably thought he was going to get once Drew Brees retired. What happened to him in New Orleans?
Yeah, I got hurt. I mean, that certainly was part of it. Taysom Hill happened a little bit as well. I think you could also look at it as the place where Jameis kind of got his groove back to a degree. You know, the Bucs moved on after a 5,000-yard season. Right? They said, now we're good. And the Saints, I think Jameis will tell you, he learned a little bit about himself, about the football, and kind of, I don't want to say recreated himself, but tried to become a different quarterback. We certainly saw that against the Ravens. We didn't see that against the Chargers. Let's hope the Saints play a lot of man. As Greg Olson was pointing out last week, they were doing, and Kirk Cousins had some success, and Jameis can find his game that we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Are they rejuvenated after this bye week? I mean, everyone got a week off. I understand that the two wins and the win column are just staring at everybody right now. when it comes to this season, and everyone's already ready to turn the page and start looking at the draft and next year as well. But,
no, we're not, Andy.
There's a lot of people.
Andrew. I'm just saying,
are they rejuvenated after this little time off?
I can speak for myself. I am.
Hmm. There we go.
Are they? We'll find out on Sunday. I think a bye week helps everyone. I don't think that's, you know, a very unique opinion. But I think where and when it happened on the calendar, week 10, I think certainly helps. It would have been great going into that bye with a victory and a little two-game winning streak and a different spring in your step heading down to New Orleans, considering the possibilities and what the rest of the AFC say for the Dolphins really did this past Sunday. You know, going back to Monday night, that's why that win was so big for Miami with three wins. They're 3-7, not 3-6. They kind of feel like they're in it again because Denver lost and Indy lost and the Jets lost and kind of everybody lost on Sunday. I am not going to sit here and blow sunshine at you and suggest that a Browns win on Sunday all of a sudden makes them a legit playoff contender. But Thursday night against the Steelers next week will feel a heck of a lot different if Jameis can go down there and beat the Saints. And I think he's got a good shot at doing it. I mean, look, this is a team that lost seven in a row before they fired Dennis Allen to put Darren Rizzi in there. They look like a different team last week. They're still a team, however, with some noted deficiencies that didn't magically go away just because their special teams coach got the interim job and everybody loves them and they showed up for a week.
Nick Chubb has been back for three games. His rushing average isn't typical. How has he looked to you? And is his struggling right now a byproduct of coming back from an injury, the offensive line, new play caller, all of the above? What do you think?
I might go all of the above. I will say I think Nick has looked better, not only on the field but in practice every week, getting progressively better. It's going to take a little bit. It always takes a little bit, I think, especially for the skill player guys. And I know I've said this before, but you know, guys, I've spoken to plenty of running backs over the years that come back from knee injuries who say, oh, yeah, I'm back in a year. I might be back in 10 months. I'm not myself. I could play.
Until the next year.
I could be productive. I'm not myself until the next year.
Yeah.
That's only for an ACL. Nick blew everything up in that knee, unfortunately. I mean, his comeback, pretty amazing and well-documented. Yes. It's great that he's on the field. It makes everyone happy. He's going to have his moment. I think it's coming soon. I think he's been really close a couple of times to busting through that line. He's also had, I mean, against the Chargers, he had a 15-yard run where you go, all right, I see it. I definitely see it. It's mm-hmm. there. And I think we'll see more of it hopefully this week. I hate that you got to play on turf down there. That doesn't feel good for anybody. But maybe this is a bust-out game.
Just kind of your take on the Jed Wills story that came out this week about him, you know, saying that I just wish he would have said, I'm injured, I can't play, instead of saying, you know, business opportunity or business decision to not want to play. And really, what does that mean for DeJuan Jones? I mean, he's the guy that's got to step up. And does he stay at left tackle? Because, I mean, Coach said he's a starter for the rest of the season. So, you know, when you don't play, you create opportunity for somebody else, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, I think the messaging was could have been better, let's put it that way, for Jed. If you go back to my pregame interview with Coach, with Kevin Stefanski before the Chargers game, I think I phrased it, has DeJuan Jones earned another start at left tackle? And he said yes, because he did play well in his first start, so he got a second start. I think he played reasonably well in his second start. And, you know, you have to look long-term here organizationally. It is worth seeing DeJuan Jones at left tackle to see if he can do it. I think organizationally we all agree on that. Everybody would agree on that with Jed in his final year of his contract. And as for the messaging, I think I agree with you. He might have been better said, if I were to advise, and I'm not being asked for advice, that you say, hey, I was injured. I told them it might be hard for me to go, and they said they're going to start DeJuan. And DeJuan got the opportunity and played well, and he's going to start again. You know, that's what happens sometimes. You have to sit out with an injury and somebody else plays well and they earn the spot. I think that messaging would have been better. I think the words business decision back-to-back never come off well, especially in this clickbait social media world, whether it was the intent to say, hey, man, I tapped out. That's not what he said, but that's how it reads sometimes. He was injured. He couldn't go, but I might have phrased it differently. I think that's fair to say.
I would agree with you about that. Do you like the offensive line? I know there's a little bit of age there, but I think there's a ton of talent there, and I think it's still a viable long-term offensive line, Andrew.
I think I like the fact that they are going to play their third consecutive week with the same starting lineup for the first time this year. And I think getting back to the Nick Chubb question, that helps. That helps immensely. Consistency, communication, more important for that offensive line maybe than any other position group. Obviously the DBs as well, I might argue that. But I like that. And then, look, in the offseason, you're going to have conversations to make, probably at right tackle with Jack Conklin's contract. Obviously at left tackle, we just touched on that. What do you do at center with Ethan Posick as well? Assume Joel is back. Assume Wyatt Teller is back. Luke Whippler could have stepped into that job this year. Obviously, he got hurt in the preseason. Do you pencil him into a starting spot at center? What is Zach Zinner's development as a third-round pick for next season? So, yeah, I mean, I could see it back in one piece, but I don't know that that's likely.
This will be our first game without Za'Darius Smith, but I've always felt like with Double O, with Obo Okoronkwo, that they've always had three starters, three guys that could start any game with Miles at the end and Double O on the other side. I we'll see what this looks like with Double O getting way more time. Your thoughts on that, and what does that mean for Isaiah McGuire?
I think more time for Isaiah McGuire is a good thing as well. Love Obo, and yeah, he is going to get more run, but I'd love to see a lot more Isaiah McGuire as well, because I think in his limited opportunities, and those opportunities have certainly grown as the season has progressed, and with Alex Wright's injury, I would like to see more from him. Let me tell you, speaking to someone with the Chargers last week, when they came to town, they said, hey, who's 91? Because we're looking at, you know, pressure cut-ups, and 91's making some noise. He's out, right? I said, he's out. So let's not forget about him in this conversation, too, when we go long-term, because I think his performance the first month of the season is something to look forward to for next season as well. Thinking long-term, obviously not this week.
Jordan Hicks back.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they missed him and JOK last week. I mean, that was certainly noticeable.
I'm just really curious to see what happens the rest of the way. I don't think this is a 2-7 football team. That said, you reel off what? You go 5-3. You know, we were chatting about this earlier. I don't think there's any question you can. Does that do anything for you? Does it calm anything down? I want to see them win some games, Andrew. I don't want to see them play for draft position here.
Yeah, I think you could do both. I also think, and listen, we are, the draft is a long way away. You talk to the draft people, and you're already hearing it's not a great top 10.
Yeah.
Well,
you
maybe.
You hear that all the time, don't you?
Yeah, maybe Campbell's really a guard, and how high would you draft a safety? And I don't know which edge rusher I really like. And, yeah, I love Shador, but I don't know. Maybe Cam could do a little more athletic. I mean, listen, we're already in that season. You can't get wrapped up on the what-ifs, because so many things can happen with that top of that draft board between now and then. Somebody could get number one overall that you never saw coming and traded for everything under the sun. Players could decide to go back to college. Players can get injured. We're talking college players right now. Let's look at Cam Ward, for example. All right, Cam Ward is a guy coming out of Washington State last year that had all kinds of options. A lot of people thought he was going to go to the NFL. And then a lot of people thought, oh, he's going to be a Buckeye. Or no, he's going to go here, he's going to go there. Then it kind of became like where's the NIL money going to steer Cam Ward? Oh, maybe he does go to the NFL. Then he ended up at Miami. Certainly helped his draft stock. I'm just using him as an example. Not that the Browns want Cam Ward. But the draft board between now and then is going to change so dramatically that you can't focus on that. You got to focus on the 1-0 part. As short-sighted for some fans as that may sound, you can't sell it any other way other than you got to go win this game.
All right, Andrew. Well, we'll be looking forward to hearing from you on Sunday. Browns, Saints, you're the man. Thank you, buddy. Andrew.
Beignets, guys. Maybe I'll try to get some.
Send us back a couple of them.
Yeah, have good. A donut for us.
Right. Oh, yeah. But don't get the powder on your face. It'll screw up your play-by-play, just so you know.
Sure. That'll matter.
Just taking care of you. Goodbye, Andrew.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Ah, Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When it comes to quarterback, what's the goal here for the end of the season? Do you want to see DTR? Is Jameis Winston going to lead you I'm a little confused on where we're going with this. So Kevin Stefanski, his press conference, we know we're going there at noon out in Berea. All right, Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up here in about 20 minutes, so we'll check in out in Berea, see what the latest is. So, Jeff, I said this before break. What's the goal here at quarterback? Jameis Winston starts this week. He'll speak at one. You'll get to hear from him. But at what point do you want to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson? If Jameis struggles this week, it's DTR for me. I want to see. Why
do you think Jameis is going to struggle?
I'm just saying. He is a backup quarterback. He's not your original starting quarterback.
Well, he's.
And
he's,
you've invested.
If you're going to label him, okay, he was the backup here this year. But
you label guys all the time, Jeff Phillips.
I don't know that I do.
Oh,
he's been a.
Dan?
You've labeled me more times than I can count.
Yeah, you're a labeler.
Doof.
You're a labeler.
That's the one.
I'm going to write down now every time you
Jameis
label.
Jameis has been a starting quarterback. Here's the thing. Everybody's talking about DTR. I want to see DTR. I want to see Jameis. Which one's a more viable option for next year to be the starting quarterback? Now, I know ideally you would want DTR because he's less expensive. Jameis has thrown for 5,100 yards in an NFL season and 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
Yeah, he's good at throwing at the other team too, yeah. They were the third leading receiver in last week's game.
I'm not going to say he gets a bad rap because he has thrown a lot of interceptions. He also, there were stats I saw the other day, he threw it downfield second most in the NFL last week, even though he had a tough game against the Chargers. He's getting the ball downfield. I would rather get a good look at Jameis and decide if he's my starting quarterback moving forward.
All right, so determine, just tell me what's a good look. How many games?
Oh, we have eight left, right?
You want all eight games with Jameis?
Why do I need to... I've got a guy who's thrown for 5,100 yards and over 30 touchdowns and was a number one overall pick in the draft. Enough of a talent that he was the number one pick in the draft. And then I've got a guy who was passed over by every team 4.5 times. I'd rather see the guy who teams thought was the number one guy. And I like DTR. I don't think he's a real viable starting quarterback. I think Jameis could be. And I want to see if Jameis can if he can play well in the final eight games, I'm bringing him back as my starter next year.
I'm not going to disagree with your overall premise, but I do want to see Dorian Thompson Robinson have the opportunity to have a full week's practice where he's not the scout team quarterback, and they actually design the game with him in mind. It's not that I'm against Jameis Winston. I think, that's great. Let's go win six games and not make the playoffs. That'd be awesome. And then do we think Jameis is going to be our quarterback next year? I don't know. I hear people talking about wanting to draft a quarterback, do this, do that. How are they going to be able to afford players because of the constraints of your former quarterback who's hurt for the rest of the season? Anyway, but I look at it, and there's some point I do want to see Dorian Thompson. It doesn't have to be this week. And by the way, if Jameis plays well this week, my desire to want to see Dorian Thompson Robinson, I'm sure, will be diminished, thinking exactly what you're thinking. But, you know, where Jameis Winston was drafted, what success or lack of success he may have had in New Orleans or being ousted in Tampa Bay or, you know, wherever he's been, that's yesterday's news. Man, I don't know what's tomorrow. And if he's going to be able to play at the level that maybe you want him to play at, I'm all in. I'll buy the Jeff Phelps philosophy on that.
Yeah, let's just see him. I'm not saying he's the guy next year, but I think he has a better chance to be an effective starting quarterback in the NFL next year than DTR does. And that's no disrespect to DTR. I'd love to see Jameis DTR as a combination. I mean, look around the NFL. Look at the reclamation projects that have gone on somewhat successfully in the NFL. And why can't Jameis be one as well? I think he could be.
He could be. I'm not going to disagree with the chance there is a future. Well, like, if I can see what I saw against the Ravens, I'm all in. Like, you've given me hope. And like, the one thing I haven't heard over the last 2 weeks from anybody is hope. Like, no one has hope for this team moving into next season. No one sees it because I think we're all handcuffed by Deshaun Watson's contract and what he means to the organization. It just trumps everything that we're seeing on the field. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, we've got Myles Garrett. Okay, that's great, you know. But I don't feel any optimism towards the future. And is it because of the way they lost the last game and we had to sit through a bye week and try to wonder, well, here we go. And can we be a three-win team? Yeah, we can be a three-win team. I mean, New Orleans was really struggling until they played last week. And other than their first 2 weeks of the season where they were just putting tons of points on the board. I want someone to tell me why you have hope. What gives you inspiration for this team?
Hope for what?
For what this team could look like next year. I mean, I'm listening to the afternoon show yesterday. I'm trying to remember who was on. And I walked away from that interview so depressed, thinking that, you know, there's no quarterback in the draft next year. And even if you were going to draft a quarterback, would you really do that? Are you going to give Jameis another shot? Like, I'm trying to find something I can sink my teeth into and go, you know what? That's reason to believe that the Browns can be good next year. That's reason to believe that I want to watch this team every game for the rest of the season with passion, not being just kind of like, okay, I'm watching the team because it's my team.
It amazes me how quickly people just say, I'm done. I'm watching them because they're my team.
Yeah,
I want to see how they're going to grow. I want to see what this thing might be. I want to see how they can do the rest of this year. I've never understood that.
I don't know what they're going to be next year. I've no
exactly. Okay, so, I mean, I know so pay they, attention to the final eight games and get a good look.
Yeah, I'm there, but that doesn't give me hope for the future. Like, I don't nothing
why not,
on there.
Why not? Watch them and see. Maybe it will give you great hope. Maybe you'll see their corners just become even more lockdown corners. Maybe you'll see Isaiah McGuire emerge at defensive line, and you'll see Miles be an absolute beast.
I just think we're.
I mean, there's a lot of things here that I think that are to like, and a lot of things that will say, "All right, that's got to be fixed."
What do you love? Give me something that you love about this team right now.
I love it's my team.
Outside of that, that's like because. Give me an answer. Give me something that you love about this team right now.
You and I both know that we differ on this.
Okay.
I don't need a winning team for satisfaction in watching sports.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't 100% need that. I enjoy team. It's easier to like a team.
Absolutely
winning.
Yeah. It is. I can't wait to see what happens at quarterback the rest of the way. If it's Jameis, great. Let's see it. If he doesn't play well and they put in DTR, great. Let's see it.
Let's see it. Yeah, I agree with you on that. We're on the same page.
That's fine. I'm really intrigued by Cedric Tillman. He looks like the real deal, man. Now, it's only three games. But he looks like the real deal. And if they could develop their own 1 or 1A wide receiver, thank you. And that would be phenomenal. And right now he's looking like one. Andy, the 3 weeks he's played, he's the best, most effective wide receiver in the NFL. You can look it up.
All right, so I went back and said, okay, what do you love, Andy? Right? What do you love? What do you love? I love the thought of Nick Chubb resurrecting his career. Like, to me, that's something that drives me. I mean, I'm watching the games anyway. Again, it's my team. I will always be passionate about them. But what do I love about that? I love the thought of Nick Chubb being able to come back from this brutal injury and being one of the best running backs in the NFL. I'm cheering for that story. I'm cheering to watch Myles Garrett get more sacks every game. Love it, right? Love all that stuff. JOK was a story that was there, but now he's hurt. So it's like, I'm looking at, and as I've said all along, I've always thought 00 could have been a starter from day one when he walked in the door. Now he's got the chance to do that. So those are a couple of the stories I love. Cedric Tillman, jury's still out. I know he's had some success because he's been the most viable option for the quarterback over last week. I still don't know if he's my go-to wide receiver, number one guy down the road. Those are all
sitting
there.
Well, how could you? He's only had three games where he's been.
Yeah, but you seem to be, you're kind of in love with that story a little bit, right?
Absolutely. He's a 6'3 wide receiver who can do some things.
Yeah, I want to see him get the ball and continue to do that. I don't know that this, like, we're not, how can you be in love with a two-win team? I know you don't see the wins, I do. 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski's press conference next.
1240, the return of Askin, Baskin, and Phelps Helps. So here's the deal, how we're going to do it. We're not going to do
what's
it.
What's that mean, Andy?
It means that folks should go to the app, the Odyssey app, okay. And then there's like a button on there when you go to listen live, and there's a button on there, and you basically can send us a voicemail. So if you need to ask any question on earth, it's not just sports, like, you're like, hey, Baskin, what kind of Halloween candy did you give out this year? And we'll answer that. But obviously, there'll be more fun questions.
We're looking for more advice, though.
Yeah,
it's
about advice.
We're hoping to be your counselors.
Yeah, it's really like Ann Landers and who was the other one? Who was your sister?
There are all kinds of them. There's Dear Abby.
Ann Landers. And Ann Landers.
Look at Cleveland.com. They have 17 of those guys.
Yeah, what is up with that?
I don't know.
You could ask 1,000
everybody.
People for advice.
We just
want in.
We want to get picked up. We want to be syndicated.
That's what we do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what we're hoping for there.
Dear Andy.
Tomorrow, Askin Baskin Phelps Helps. And so, you know, you're just like, hey, my question is Askin Baskin.
Okay. Example. Dear Andy, my son's girlfriend is coming for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Should we make sure that we mow the lawn? There. That's the type of stuff we're doing.
And I would say, yes, you would want the lawn mowed because at that moment with your son and his girlfriend, he is going to get down on one knee and propose.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, he went to Bookman & Son, and he said, I'm in love, and he went and bought an engagement.
You're not going
to
turn every one of these into something that you're hawking,
nothing,
are you?
Nothing makes a segment really hum like, you know what, I won't go
like
for
squeezing in every sponsor you have.
I could squeeze everyone, and it would be great. It'd be like, you know.
Can we also send questions in on, you know, on social media?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You can send questions. We'll read those on the air.
Okay.
It's so much easier if we don't take phone calls on that.
Here's the beauty of it.
Really, you could say, hey, Andy, why are you using the mobile app for this? I'm going to be like, straight out, I'm lazy. And it's just a lot easier for us to gather all the questions before. But again, we're going to answer them spontaneously. We will not listen to any of your questions. Dan is totally in charge of that. I'm sure that he's used some kind of accounting firm to lock us out of all the questions.
Here's the beauty of it, though. Because we're using the, you know, the mobile app and the voicemails, or the social media mentions, you can't insult us, which is great.
Oh, that's not necessarily true.
Well, yeah, but Dan will read those out.
No,
the ones that call us really bad names.
No, you want to call us a bad name? Call us a bad name. We'll come back right back, and I'll call you a bad name, I'll make you feel bad
really
about yourself.
That's really entertaining
People
stuff.
People enjoy watching fighting. The boxing is a whole
You're
thing.
You're a loser.
Jeff.
You're a dork. Okay, great. Moving on.
And then they'll be like, hey, Phelps Helps. Who uses the word dork anymore?
And you got to keep it clean.
Well, that you might have to do.
Yeah.
But then we can do that on the fly, too. So, again, tomorrow is the return of Askin Baskin, Phelps Helps. Any question in the world, just go to the Odyssey.
For either one of us.
Yeah, for either
one. Or both of us.
Trying to think of what would be a relative or a recent question. I have to think about it. All right, so I want to get into the Cavaliers because I know we are all super stoked for this NBA Cup. I mean, I started tailgating for this thing like 3 weeks ago. Because I just think there is nothing better than the NBA midseason cup that they hand out. You know, it really protects what's in... it's a trophy. So, you know, you look at this NBA Cup thing and everybody has the different floors, right? So far, what's your assessment
those are
of the floors
those
that we
tough,
saw last night?
Man. I didn't get a look at all of them. My stomach started to churn. So why
do you think you got nauseous looking at the Celtics floor?
Ooh, that was tough.
They
man.
Were trying to duplicate the parquet. I do like the Cavaliers. What they did was, it's kind of a sublime, you know, the V in the Cavs where they made the V into a net.
Back in the day?
Yeah, and so they took that, they worked it off the circle. I have no problem with that. I like the graphics they use and the font they use for the word Cleveland. I think it looks super cool. I like that. Tonight, you'll see Philadelphia. This is the first game of the Emirates NBA Cup. When the Cavs have their games at home, I think you'll enjoy it. What do they do with the floors when they're done with them, by the way? Does anyone know? They should give them to high schools. They should give these floors to high schools, and the high schools should change their name.
Yeah, because
to whatever it is.
A lot of high schools have those floors you take apart and put in a store.
Well, you could put one of those why couldn't you put one of these floors on a high school court? Why can't give them away afterwards you're done with them? Or give them to a community rec center or something,
you think the high schools have the staff to take that floor up and down all the time?
Well, who says they've got to take it up and down? You just leave it down all the time at the high school. You make it sound like they've got to get a hockey game in
leave it down on what? The basketball floor?
No, but some places, yeah, maybe you tear out the current floor that you have, and in the off season you put NBA floors.
Now that's a different story.
I'm sure that
it is interesting. They have so many basketball floors, isn't it?
Well, I was told at one point that a lot of these floors were built in Tuscarora County. That there's a guy with a barn that makes these floors.
What'd you do a story? He's got a table saw
and some glue, right? give me some strips.
And some real clamps.
What's up with Boston? I don't understand this whole parquet thing. What's that all about?
I just tell you, man, when I watch those games and they're like on all green, it's weird. It's interesting, but it's strange for me. I don't know.
I
have a tough time.
I like the Cavaliers floor. I think it's kind of cool. It's got, you know, the NBA Cup logo in the middle. It's got the C on it. And then they've got the NBA Cups in the lane. So
I give the NBA credit because they're trying something, you know, and they're trying to create something else that has
marketing ability.
Yeah, they think.
I can't stand the Brooklyn Nets floor, even when it's not the NBA.
Oh,
Cup.
I like that one a lot.
I can't stand
kind of shades
it.
Of gray and
yeah, it's
parquet.
Monochrome, isn't that what that is?
I think it's kind of cool.
The Celtics is just goofy. You're right, Jeff.
The green one, it's weird.
Yeah, because they tried to simulate. It looks like Tron, like the background from Tron.
I just think it's tough.
I'm sure Hody
but
has.
But hey, they're trying something, so what the hey?
I shouldn't do this, but I'm sure Hody's already looked at all these floors and is like, I've rated these floors 1 to 10, and I know exactly which one I like the best. True
I can't
false?
Stand any of them. They're ugly.
Oh, you hate them all?
Yeah, all of them. And
Detroit's
it dates back to
goofy.
Last year, especially Indies.
There you go.
Indies has words. It says boom, baby, on it.
Boom, baby.
In the floor. Ugh. I'm looking at some. Lakers isn't horrible. It's not bad.
That's what you're looking for?
It's not bad.
Floor in the floor?
So we had 1 year. Okay, let me go into this NBA Cup thing for a second, right? Last year, I thought this was the absolute.
We got a 12-0 team going tonight, baby.
I thought this was absolutely the stupidest idea that we've ever seen from the NBA. And then.
Then you saw the floor?
Well, no. Then I thought the Cavs got ripped off going to the second round. So I got mad about it. So I was emotional about it. So then I said to myself, well, you know what? The NBA wins. I actually feel for that.
You cared.
I cared. What is wrong with me?
We're not sure. We've been wondering for some time.
Do we have a parade if we win this thing? How about just everybody meets at the bar and the Cavs buy everyone around? Wouldn't that be fair?
Yeah, a parade. You walk out of the arena in the parking deck.
I wonder if the guys feel any motivation. I mean, obviously, there's pressure now to want to be 13-0. You know, you're playing Philadelphia. Obviously,
Is there pressure?
I think when winning streaks get longer, you suddenly find yourself...
I would think when winning streaks get longer, you're just thinking, this is awesome. Let's go play.
I think in the back
we lost. Oh, good. We're 12-1.
But
golly.
You know a loss is coming at some point. Like everyone
knows that.
Gee, do
you think?
Well, I'm just saying, but you're just wondering, who's, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to play Toronto, the worst team in the Eastern Conference, perhaps the worst team in the NBA. And then that streak, you know, oh, we don't want to lose to Toronto. Oh, but can you imagine Toronto will have that? Everyone will be like, well, how good are the Cavs? They lost to Toronto. They broke the streak. You never know who you're going to pick up in a back-to-back. I really, you know, looking at the Cavs schedule, I feel pretty good about tonight. Don't you?
Yeah, I would.
Especially if Embiid, he needs oxygen after playing last night.
Joel Embiid will not play. I hope I'm wrong, to be honest with you. I like Joel Embiid. I think the Cavs can beat the Sixers even with him.
I like the fact that Chicago's here. I like the fact that Charlotte's here. And then I think next Tuesday, Tuesday the 19th, is that right? Yeah, 6 days away, at Boston's going to be like mid-season NBA Finals kind of hype. It's going to be fun. I don't know if it'll be NBA Finals, but it'll be like first round kind of hype, right? That game's on TNT.
It'll be an entertaining big matchup.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. And then you've got Boston twice before December. Well, the second game is December 1st. So you've got Boston. Atlanta's in there for a back-to-back. Toronto is in there. Please don't let that be the first loss. You got New Orleans, too. So I love the way this team's playing. I think they're a ton of fun. I love the fact that the city's getting into it, that fans are enjoying what they're watching. Jeff, I really like doubling down on the fact that of the things that, you know, you said and I agreed with last year, that they can't do this last year. They can't. How can you have this duplication at the guard spot? How can you have this duplication, you know, forward center kind of, you know, how can you have two guys that are very similar? How do you well, they figured out a way to do it. They're moving the ball. They come up with big time plays.
You can do it in the regular season. I wonder if it's a recipe for success in the postseason. It doesn't matter. The postseason's a long time away. Then so far, the offense is working beautifully with two big guys and two small guards. That's beautiful.
I look at this. It's fun, man. I'm enjoying every second
it's
fun. Of this.
You should. They played great ball, Andy. That's the thing I like the most. Even if they were, I don't know, 8-4 right now, the way they're playing, it's a really entertaining brand of basketball. It's really effective, and it allows the players on the team to show what they're capable of.
I think the key word there, Jeff, is players. Like, we're seeing, again, leading scorers pretty much been three different guys every night, but we're seeing, you know, like every once in a while, you know, you're getting double figures from Ty Jerome or Sam Merrill stepping out or LeVert. We know how important he can be. Like, okay, again, against
really
the
like
Bulls. You always have. And it's not just about the core four or the five starters. It's about having a coach.
We haven't heard core four, have we?
Because they haven't had to be the core four. They are. We all know it. I see that gigantic billboard across the street from the arena.
Yeah.
And so I know that's the core four, but that they're not playing that way. When the second team comes out on the floor, I'm not worried.
There's a drop.
I mean, yes, there's a drop off, but it doesn't. Those guys who are coming in, the Dean Wades of the world that are coming in off the bench, are contributing.
Although he's been starting a lot too.
Yeah.
There's a sneaky good thing that's going on that I like a lot, and that is Ty Jerome coming in and playing point guard later in the game and really running the offense. And I think that's been a really nice addition. You know, he was here last year, but he was injured. He barely played. And I think it's been a real nice addition because I think he orchestrates the offense a little bit better than the Donovan-Darius combination. Now, I didn't say the offense was better, but I think it orchestrates the offense a little bit better. And in given points of the game, that's a real nice thing to have. You know, bring him in, run it, give it a little structure. And I think he's done a really nice job.
I watch his team. I enjoy watching. Like, they're fun to watch. I can't remember the last time I had this much fun watching a team this early in the season and also coming off a roster that is essentially the same as last year. All you did was change the coach. And now I'm listening to people, you know, like, well.
And the coaching staff.
Yeah, and the staff too. But I just, you know, people, like, I don't know, they're into it. It's fun. But that, I don't know if it's just basic DNA of a Cleveland. Well, I don't know if this team is built for the playoffs. Okay, maybe they're not.
Well, we'll see. But the beauty of it is, Andy, it's going to be a really fun NBA season here in Cleveland.
It does seem like
so. That's big picture. That's the beauty of it. This is going to be fun.
All right. It's year two of the NBA Cup. Good idea, bad idea. And I still want to break down a little bit more on the Cavaliers. 216-474-0092. Jameis Winston, his press conference coming up in a little bit. And Chris Rose, all these good things coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps. Interesting to see the picture this morning. Yeah, I'm trying to think of where I saw it. Did you see the Wrigley Field configuration for Ohio State and Northwestern this week. Although it's
did
just,
not.
It's kind of neat.
Like?
It looks like a football field in the middle of a baseball stadium.
Bears used to play there.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of I don't know what north, south, east, and west is, but one side, which would be the third base side, or like left field is all grass, and so you know the right field line is kind of short, which I'm assuming will probably be Ohio State's bench on that side. But when you look at the one side, and so the bleachers are kind of the end zone. They move into the scoreboard area on the one side. So I just think it's neat. I don't know. I'm looking at this Ohio State schedule down the stretch, and I'm kind of glad this week's game is at Wrigley Field, because I would think that if you're a player, you're walking out there and you feel like maybe it's a little bit different. It's a little bit special. I mean, Ryan Field's getting completely redone, and it's kind of a mess, and it's right on the lake. And so, you know, I think Northwestern's playing two home games at Wrigley this year, so this was one of them. And, you know, I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule going down the stretch here, and, you know, every game is at noon. So you'll have this game, you'll have Indiana. Did you watch any of the Indiana-Michigan games? Did you get a catch?
Not one bit.
Not a big deal. Did you see any, Dan? Did you catch any?
A little bit of the Indiana game.
Yeah, not so much. I don't know. Indiana's a good football team. You know, this isn't just like...
I like it.
Yeah, so I love the competitive nature of this right now. And then, obviously, you land with Michigan. You got another shot at Oregon. Hopefully, if you can, you know, win out here and, you know, Oregon does what they need to do, that you might be able to meet up with them in Indianapolis, where they play the Big Ten Championship. I wonder if there would ever be any domes in the future anywhere in the Midwest where they might want to try to have a Big Ten Championship. Although they could also play it in L.A. now, too, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all those things are kind of up in the air down the road, but... I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I just love college football. Somebody said to me on X, well, you know, because you can lose a game, that games now become meaningless. That's a lot. In what other sport do we put the pressure on, you know, if you lose one game, you're completely fried? Like that. I think that's just something I didn't like about college football. We had a great game, man. Oregon, Ohio State, that was a great game. That came down to the final moments, final seconds. Yeah, Ohio State lost by one. Should their season have been over because they lost on the road? In the past, it probably wouldn't have, because they're Ohio State, because they carry all the cloud, because it was a West Coast trip, because it was early in the year. I get all those things. But like the social media mention I got today was like, well, now we're making games meaningless. I don't think we're making games meaningless. He said it's just going to be like the NCAA basketball tournament. Yeah, I disagree. And now, for the first time, I actually think the Big Ten football championship game is meaningful, because they blew up the East and the West, the Legends and the what was the other one? Legends and Leaders.
Leaders.
I mean, they blew that. That was one of the dumbest things. You know, you're looking at it, and you know what happens if Ohio State and Michigan end up being 1-2 at the end of the season in the same, and you know you have one loss Michigan or one loss Ohio State. And the way the rest of the Big Ten shook out, that you could have them meeting 2 weeks in a row. I mean, that's a possibility. You know, and the other thing is, you're also playing for a bye, you know, when you go to win that Big Ten. I think the Big Ten championship, because at first I was concerned about that. I was like, is this what's going to happen? But now suddenly you look at it and it feels like it's meaningful. Like there are meaningful games. And maybe I'm just looking at it through Ohio State eyes, because it does seem to be beneficial if you're a Buckeye fan. But I, you know, BYU suddenly is an Army. We saw the results last night, right? Oregon still won. Ohio State's number two. So you kind of look at you kind of look in at the way the things are shaping up, and you know, maybe you see SMU, you see schools, Army, like teams that actually have a chance now, that chance. And it's better than, I just remember, like, I have this moment in time. Was it Northern Illinois played in the Orange Bowl a long time? It's been a while back. There was a team that was undefeated that was in the Mid-American Conference and got a major bowl game. And I just remember sitting in the office with Dr. Steinbrecher for the Mid-American Conference, and I just watched ESPN.
That was a ding.
And so we were watching to see, you know, what was going to happen as the and I just remember, like, you know, watching Kirk Herbstreit just, you know what, all over the Mid-American Conference, saying, oh, I'm a Mid-American Conference guy, I'm from Ohio, no. But Northern Illinois has no right. And they ended up, I think they lost by two touchdowns. I'm trying to remember, it was like Alabama or Clemson or somebody they were playing. in the Orange Bowl. And I was like, you know what? Why can't other teams have a chance to win this stuff, especially now in this era of, you know, transfer portal and, you know, NIL and watching some of these other teams have the opportunity to advance. I also read an interesting story today that was talking about how college football coaches are looking at recruiting, and their recruiting starts in their own house, in their own locker room. That's one, and like their fifth most important was high school. What do you got?
All right, a little bit of news coming down when it comes to the Cleveland Guardians and their coaching staff that they're looking to build. I'm going to read you a whole list of names, and all of you are going to respond pretty much the same way, which is cool. We'll figure out if this is good in June of next year. So, promoted Craig Albanez to associate manager, promoted Kay Correa to Major League Field Coordinator, Director of Defense, Base Running and Game Strategy. I figured defense sounded cooler there, Jeff.
I'm sorry, that's why I did that. Isn't that a cabinet position in Washington?
Well, it's also a cabinet position with the Cleveland
Field
Guardians.
Field Coordinator, Director of Defense,
mm-hmm.
And Game Strategy.
Promoted Grant Fink to Major League Hitting Coach. Promoted Jason Esposito to Major League Assistant Hitting Coach. Promoted Hassane Torres to Head of Major League Strength and Conditioning Coach. Promoted Joe Kessler to the Senior Coordinator Strength and Conditioning, Integration, and Development. So everybody make sure you write those names down so that in June you know who you're angry at.
Wait a minute. Is Carl still here? Is Carl still a pitching
coach? Yes, Carl Will is still a part of
this. Is Sandy still coaching first?
Sandy yep. Alomar is still coaching first base.
Okay. Brad yep. Goldberg, still the bullpen coach?
He is still the bullpen coach.
Pride of Beachwood, Pride of Ohio State.
Ruggie Odor, yes. Still at third base.
That is correct. Again, I just want to make sure everybody has written down who to yell at and when.
Got a lot of coaches these days in Major League Baseball.
So wait, I'm just making sure this list. So again, the new bench coach is?
It is the associate manager.
It's not the bench coach.
It's the associate manager.
It's Albanez, right?
Yeah, Craig Albanez.
Okay, so.
Yep.
Wow, congratulations on your title success. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry to steal that from the morning show.
Hey, man, if it means more money, you can call these guys whatever you want to call them.
All right, so Sandy's still there. Carl's still there. Brad's still there. Okay, I'm good.
Yep. That's it. Just want to make sure everybody's, you know, written all those down so they know who to yell at when they're angry.
But they have as many coaches and managers on their...
They're a lot.
On their staff as the Browns do, right? What didn't we say that at one point the Browns had a coach for every one of the starting 22 positions?
Don't doubt that.
The Guardians have, I'm just looking at this. This is the Major League staff, right? Major League staff. I'm not going to count for you on the air.
A little bit of news as well. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich had a mild stroke.
Ooh.
He is on the road of recovery, should be able to make a full recovery. Timeline to return has not been determined. That is according to the team.
He's been out for a little while and took an untimed leave. You know, they didn't say when he'd be back. So that's good news that he apparently is on the road to recovery. Coach, 75 years old, still going at it.
He's a coach's coach, right? He's not a player's coach, is he?
No, he is a player's coach.
You know what I'm saying, though? So help me
the guys who play for
find
him,
new words. Help me find
guys
some
who
new
play
words.
For him really are fond of him. He's an old school basketball coach. I mean, yeah. he just coaches the game. He's been very blessed with some really good talent over the years. Good for him. And he was part of acquiring that, but that's good for him.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
We would maybe play that too. But and right now we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and we bring in Chris Rose. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Sorry, guys. I'm not sure I can do the segment right now. I'm planning on resting. I have left knee injury management.
Mm. Oh.
Whatever the hell that is.
That's a business decision for you, isn't it?
Wow.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, Adam Silver will never admit this. I saw Barkley talking about it earlier this year, but it's a joke. It's one of the reasons I'm so thankful that we're Cavaliers fans. Like, I feel like those guys want to play as much as possible. And I know that because more than half of the league makes the playoffs, that really the regular season doesn't mean jack. But they're going to have a real problem when they go to Amazon next year. Why in the world would you go find it on a streaming service? Like, I love streaming services, but it does mean, like, you can't just flip back and forth between games, right? You don't have that ability.
That's true. Here,
so that's the one drawback at this point of it. It doesn't mean that it can't change or something like that. But if it's a standalone game on Amazon and not everybody's playing, who cares? Who is going to care?
The regional audience that cared originally, right?
But they want bigger than that.
They might. I mean, anybody that would buy, you know, I don't know. I see where you're going with it, though, Chris. That does make a lot of sense. You're right.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I love basketball. I really do. Like, I love it. I'm not one of those haters who's like, yeah. No, it's stupid. But, man, it would be imagine if you were a Sixers fan tonight. You just get those guys back. The best team in the league is coming to town. You want to see if you can hand them loss number one. You're already without Maxey. And now these two guys need it. Management. We're managing the pain in their legs?
Yeah, but, Chris, you just said it. If the regular season doesn't matter, what does it matter?
Oh, and, Chris, your seat was $240.
Oh, that's true, too, yeah.
That's what matters, is that at some point the fan has got to start standing up for what they believe in. I mean, you just have to. You have to show it. It's the only way that they'll ever listen is if you stop spending the money on regular season tickets. Like, I don't know. Every game's on TV. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't pay that amount of money. If you just have unlimited disposable income, you can. But I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. What a joke.
I don't know how you fix it either, you know? You can't.
I don't.
You can't force them to go out and play, I guess.
Guys, this is the NBA Cup. What are you talking about? This is for all the. They put in special courts for this. Your lack of enthusiasm for the Emirates NBA Cup is just disheartening. Both of you.
Well,
I'm devastated.
The only way I would ever say that is if I actually got to fly first class in Emirates. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, is it fancy?
Yeah, they're sweet.
Oh my God! Just,
I've seen pictures.
Just dial it up. That's our dream vacation. It's not actually to have a steak. Take the plane anywhere and actually go somewhere. We just want to fly in the air for a while.
Yeah, shouldn't the winner of this, their team should get one of those planes, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly how it should roll. Let's talk about the Cavs, though, can we, real quick?
Yeah. What do you like most? Spacing? Passing?
What I like most, I love how we won the other night. I loved it. The team. Listen, when you play three games in four nights or, you know, 4-7, these guys are they get tired, they don't shoot well, it happens. And the entire starting lineup, for the most part, in the second half just wasn't getting it done. And Kenny Atkinson went to a lineup, I believe it was Ty Jerome, Merrill, Dean Wade, Niang, and I forget who was the fifth one out on the floor, but Niang was the big. And all of a sudden, we were down 9, and we cut it to 3, and then I think we got like a 1-point lead, and then he started to trickle in some of the starters. And I was like, God, there are so few teams that could do that, and I don't know of many coaches who would have been willing to just say, hey, listen, these five guys are going to try and get it done for us tonight. If we don't get it done, all right, so what? It's loss number one. But I loved seeing the enthusiasm of the starters on the bench. Like, they all adopted Tristan Thompson's role, and they weren't like, oh, okay, well, we just don't have it tonight. They were in. They were like they bought in. And listen, guys, I don't know what this means for late April and early May. I have no idea, but it sure as hell is fun to watch. And I just talked about a fan base in Philadelphia, which feels like they're getting cheated. I feel anything but that with this team.
The one thing I really like, Chris, the offensive system that Kenny has put in place has given a lot of guys an opportunity to do a lot of different things. And I give the star players a lot of credit because they've allowed that to happen as well. We've all seen too many NBA teams where somebody who the star player is, whoever that guy might be, you know, isn't willing to share the ball as much, isn't willing to space the floor. He wants the ball in his hands and everything else. That hasn't happened here through 12 games, and it's been a pleasure to watch.
Oh, yeah. Now, the question I've got, and I'm not trying to, like, piss on our parade because I don't want to be that dude, but I do have, like, legitimate questions, and maybe they can't be answered for several months. The problem with this team last year was having the two bigs on the floor who can't space it properly when every team cares about defense, right? Most teams don't care in the regular season. They just don't. And then they ratchet it up. And then the other problem is that we're, you know, our backcourt didn't get any taller in the offseason.
You're right on both fronts.
I agree with you. Yeah, so those are – it doesn't mean that things can't change because you have a new coaching staff. All I'm saying is that those are the questions I have as a diehard Cavs fan. Like, are those hurdles that you can get past or that you can't get past? And if you can't, then do you have to change the makeup of your team in order to get to that next level? Those are just things that I think about because I watched them play so beautifully in the regular season, but we all know that no sport changes more drastically come playoff time than the NBA because the players actually start caring about things on the defensive side.
Chris, I think the two big guys work together if you have the right elements around them and spread them out. I'm a little concerned about the two ball dominant guards if they turn into ball dominant guards because they haven't been so far. And that's been the beauty of this. If they can continue to buy in completely and make it work, I think it could be really, really a nice situation for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I love watching them. I get excited to, you know, to tune into them when they're on. They're a good, fun team, and they're easy to root for. Like, they're really likable. They're a likable team. They're likable guys. I really think that Donovan Mitchell sets the tone on that, and I think it's awesome. All right, where else are we, guys? What else we got?
All I know is while you guys are talking about all this great stuff, I've been watching the Emirates first class seating arrangements.
Pretty good, isn't it?
So they have on the seats, they have zero gravity seats. They're level.
Yeah.
They were invented by NASA. Oh my goodness! Oh,
and I told you.
Oh, I can't. Have you actually been on one of these planes? I've never.
No, of course. I've been on one of those things. What do you think I am?
Well, sometimes you're Hollywood. I just, you know, I'm.
No, definitely
just
not
excited
Hollywood.
To know you. Hollywood, maybe.
Just I live close to it. That doesn't mean that I am. I'm still Cleveland through and through. So stop that.
All right, I won't do that to you. Let's talk about the Browns for a second. What are you most looking forward to after the break? I'm trying to be optimistic. Help me, my friend. Help me.
Maybe a second interception this season. I don't know. Do you guys know that? I was just checking out the stats the other day, and I was like, wait, JOK's got our only interception. Is that possible?
No DBs have an interception.
Yeah.
I was like, but, you know, listen, Denzel Ward has played exceptionally well. He's at, like, I'm thinking back on these horrific 9 games. Denzel has been excellent. I think Miles, particularly considering all the injuries that I think he's dealing with, has been very good. Corey Bajorquez, there we go. There's another one.
Hey, I brought that up on our podcast. It's running as a promo and people make fun of me. You just said what I've been saying. I think he's been good all season.
Well, second in the NFL in average.
They're not making fun of you for making that point. It's if you are mentioning the punter as one of your top 3 or 4 players, it's a bad season.
That's true. Exactly. I'm kind of sensitive, too, when it comes. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, Chris. I'm a little sensitive.
Well, it's part of your DNA.
That's true.
I'm not going to judge you for it. I still love you the same.
Yeah, right. So it's just like Thanksgiving. We're going to argue over the tryptophan. Keep going.
Let's see here. Anything else? Oh, I think you do have to look at DTR eventually because you have to know whether or not he is a credible backup quarterback moving forward.
Do you have to know if Jameis is a credible starting quarterback, or do you think that's not? See, I'd like to see him and see if he can do it, and maybe he's your guy next year.
I mean, listen, it is possible, guys, because, you know, we're all reading from the same tea leaves in terms of the college quarterback class.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that's not the end-all be-all. Just because some expert evaluators, and I'm using the air quotes here, say that it's a lousy quarterback class doesn't mean that it will be. Like, we all thought that the quarterback class of 2021 was going to be pretty good. Well, five of them were taken in the first 15 picks. Four of them are already on their second team before their rookie contract is up. Okay? And the one guy who stuck around is Trevor Lawrence, and that guy's spinning in oblivion right now. So when they sometimes when talent evaluators think it's going to be a great class, it's not. Sometimes when they think it's going to be a lousy class, it turns out to be okay. I mean, I still think we have to do our due diligence, and depending on where we draft, there's a possibility that we're going to take one. There just is. And if not, then yes, you are going to have to sort through the Jameis Winstons, the Daniel Joneses, possibly, guys like that.
Say it, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, but look, Sam Darnold, and I think he's getting great coaching. Like, Kevin O'Connell's kind of my coaching crush.
Agreed.
I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. And look what he did last week. Did he throw three more interceptions?
In the end zone.
Yeah, a week two after throwing two and hanging on for a win. Like, that's who he is. He's a slightly younger Jameis Winston. With more athleticism, I think.
All right, Chris, I'm going to switch gears here just for the last minute or two of our conversation. I'm going to go to baseball. Okay, I've got a philosophical question for you. Ready? Should closers be allowed to win the Cy Young Award? Yes or no?
Great question. Yes, because it is an award for the best pitcher, and closers are pitchers. I guess I'm asking, right?
Yes, they are. Correct. I do believe. I agree with you.
Then I'm in. Okay. And he's not going to win it. In fact, I think Scooble will probably be a unanimous selection. And I think the Class A will finish second. And he should get that consideration. In fact, part of my push for it was that Class A meant so much to the type of team we were. We built our entire pitching staff, not just our bullpen, our entire pitching staff backward because of the injuries that we suffered and the ineffectiveness of several starters. We went, okay, we've got the ninth inning nailed down. Now, how do we get to him? Because he is the best pitcher in the world at that. And I'm going to say during the regular season. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bring up the rest of it.
No, sure. That's true.
So I thought his importance to what we did as a team was more important than what Tarek Skubal meant to the Tigers, certainly for the first 4 months. And then I would say Skubal, because he literally was like the one starting pitcher they had that they could rely on the last 2.5 months of the year. Casey Mize was whatever. And then they've got the other kid, what's his name, Montero, who's
Kyder Montero.
Well. Yeah, who actually pitched pretty well down the stretch. But, you know, like there was a lot of pressure on Skubal to be great, and he was. So he's going to walk away with it. But, I mean, let's not just turning it into a starting pitcher. I particularly in today's game.
Yes, that's
like, I'm not going to listen to that argument.
I would think it'd be easier for closers down the stretch.
Well, I was just going to ask you that because I've been kicking this one around. Because of the way that starting pitchers are used today and that the bullpens are used, you know, earlier and more often, I wonder if that makes that 1 to 5 starting pitchers who stand out above the rest even more likely to win the Cy Young Award. And we know a lot of relievers haven't won it over the years. You know, it's been a long time. Who was it? Eric Gagne was the last one? Gagne?
Eric Gagne?
Yeah.
Eck won it too.
He was the last one. And Eckersley won it in what, 90?
92. Yeah, he won the MVP and the Cy Young.
And Gagne won in what, 2003? Was that it?
Yeah, somewhere right around there. It's been 20 years. I mean, listen, it's. I'll listen to all of that. But like I said, as far as Cleveland, which ended up being the second best team in the American League this year, Class A's importance to us was just as valuable as Skubal. And the year he had Like, Scooble had a great year. I've seen years like that, though. In the last 10 years, I've seen it. We haven't seen a year like Classe's in 30-plus years. I'm just saying. That's all.
I agree with you on that. He was outstanding.
Yep. All right, Chris, any other words of wisdom before we part? I have a million other questions I would ask you, but your time is valuable.
Well, give me one.
College football, I give 30 seconds for this. College football is better off today than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I would say so. I think the 12-team playoff's going to be fun. You're going to get some serious blowouts in that first round, but I don't care. Fine, whatever.
I feel like this has been one, because I was real hesitant on NIL. I was hesitant on transfer portal and all that stuff, but I just think the game is a better game right now. I think it's more.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you can lose a game by 1 point on the road and still not, your season's not over.
Yeah, no, I think it's in a good spot. I mean, I even think it's good that all the Georgia fans are bitching and moaning that they're on the outside looking in.
Yes.
They have to realize all they have to do is win this weekend against Tennessee and they're back in the picture. So, that sort of stuff I think is fun.
All right. Chris, I enjoyed our conversation today. I hope we can do this again next week.
Yeah, enjoy them all.
This was nice.
It was good.
Absolutely.
Will you be coming home for Thanksgiving, guys, or will you be in California for Thanksgiving?
No. Our son's coming home from college. That's the big deal this year. That's
nice. All right. Well, we're glad you're going to be home for the holidays then, the other home you have, because Cleveland's always in your heart. Goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, boys.
See you, thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Chris Rose, super friend of the show, joining us right here on Baskin and Phelps. Of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Here's Andrew Hody with the 2020.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.